This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good late evening to you. It is Saturday, March 2nd at 11:25 p.m. Earlier in the night, about an hour ago? Yeah, hour and 15 minutes ago. Purdue defeated Michigan State at Mackey Arena, 80-74, and earned at least a portion, at very minimum, a portion of their 26th Big Ten title in men's basketball. The game had some interesting subplots, had some things that, as you saw in my headline and my, I think I posted the new photo. Hope I did that. I've been working on it for a minute. If I didn't, it'll be on after I post. But I'm going to talk a little bit about what I saw and apologize to you profusely for coming to you late with my post-game wrap-up. But before I do it, let me thank the people who made my shirt. Head to homefieldapparel.com. Enter Boiled23. You get 15% off a shirt just like this. You can get this shirt at the website. You get 15% off just for listening to the show. That's how generous they are. And when you're on campus, like today, if you follow us on Twitter, you saw that the Boiled Sports Magnets are officially live. I tweeted about it a couple days ago, and now I have proof that they are out in stores. Go to AJ's, order a pint, and you may be one of the, I wouldn't say lucky few, because they've got a lot of these, the magnets. They bottom fill their pint glasses, their beer glasses, and you may look down at the bottom of your beer and see the Boiled Sports logo, thanks to our friends Adam and Jake. Just a really cool cross promotion, really, really neat. We'd love to see that. Adam asked if we were up for it a while ago, and I finally sent him art just a little bit ago, and he got them printed, so they look great. So head over to AJ's Burgers, Beef, Beer. AJ's on Vine. AJ's near the fire station, the staff will treat you great, and maybe you'll walk home with a free Boiled Sports Magnet. You can put them on your refrigerator. You can do whatever you want, because they let you keep them, so it's really, really cool. But head over to AJ's when you're on campus for senior night at Wisconsin. That's going to be a really hard ticket. I won't be there unless someone decides to invite me last minute, just because I don't have the ticket. And the tickets, my friends who have been generous enough to give me tickets down the second half of the season, it's dried up a little bit as this special season has started drawing to a close. All right, so let me explain to you why I'm so delinquent in my post-game delivery. I decided tonight, my daughter had a soccer game this evening, and good friend of mine decided we were going to get together, watch the Purdue game with another Purdue alum. And so I did something that is really breaking one of my biggest rules, especially the last couple months, because the rage monster is coming out a little bit at times. I watched a game at somebody else's house. Watching it with certain people's fine, especially this guy. He's somebody who knows me at my darkest, deepest, temper-filled, rage-filled diatribes. But I decided to go and watch the game at his house. And so as a result, I'll be honest, I was pretty, I don't want to say removed from the game, but I was trying not to get engaged. And so I watched the game, of course. I observed the game, just like you did. And I'm going to tell you what I saw, but then getting back home, it took a minute to start this all up. So I apologize. So here's what I saw. I'm going to tell you what I saw. First off, the biggest takeaway, and it's kind of stupid because when Zach Edey scores 30-plus points, like he's known to do versus Michigan State. I was at the Michigan State game last year when he scored 38, I think. But Michigan State does things to try to stop him. They tried a lot of different things today. But they tried a lot of man coverage, too, and that was a mistake again. when they did it. Zach found it. Zach got positioned so deep. That was the thing. If you watched that game, you saw that Edie was getting the ball very, very close to the rim. So if you're gonna guard him 1-on-1, and you're not gonna, I mean, Izzo tried to go straight up with him at times, and Edie made him pay. But bigger than that, one of the things that was maybe one of the best signs for later for me is something that many of you have been begging for or asking for, seeing Fletch Lawyer reemerge offensively. He had a couple threes. Mackey Arena loved it, of course. I'm gonna look at the stats specifically, see what he hit, but Fletch showing signs of life's a big deal. But at the same time, Lance Jones played a pretty bad game offensively. He played much better than Fletch did on defense. This is the problem that I'm seeing right now. Okay, so Purdue walks away with an 80-74 win, right? It's kind of like the Michigan game, right? Michigan State's a much better team than Michigan. Make no bones about it. Even at like Michigan State is a much better team. But this game leaves me feeling the same way, where I'm like, huh, what is going on? They're not clicking like you'd like to see them clicking down the stretch here. And I think I'm pretty sure I know why now. And I think it comes down to bench points. I think it's that simple. When Purdue's offense is really, really clicking, when they're doing special teams, if you go with special things, not special teams, special things, if you go back to the pre-con and in end games this year, like the Rutgers game, where the offense is playing really a special brand of basketball, you've got guys coming off the bench and doing it as well. Well, today, you not only don't have guys coming off the bench doing it, you have starters that aren't getting involved in the offense. So the flow of the offense is not really good. In fact, on one possession, you may remember this late in the game. By the way, Gillis didn't have a lot of points. I think he had 7 points. But Gillis had the absolute dagger in this one, right? The top of the, I think it was top of the key or left side, three-pointer. That really put the game far enough out that Michigan State wasn't going to be able to come back and win. That matters. And Gillis, he didn't hesitate on that shot. He got a little into the Ryan Smith school of pump fakes during times of the game, which I never like to see that. I like him to step up when given the opportunity to shoot three. But the offense really did not have a lot of continuity, a lot of flow in this game at times, and Michigan State took advantage of it. On the other side of the ball, though, this is the bigger problem, and it's now rearing its head. And I hate to rain on a parade, which, you know, Purdue literally had confetti fall tonight to symbolize they've won their 26, at least part of their league-leading 26 Big Ten championship. But if I'm going to rain on the parade, I think it's pretty easy to do it with this same thing. When you have ball-dominant guards, Purdue struggles against these guys that are athletic. And then the second part is when you have a big that can pop out, when you have a big that can pop out and knock down threes, creates another layer of problems. And early in the game, Michigan State was really feasting. In fact, Purdue had its second slow start in a row, right? At the Michigan game, that was a slow start. If you go back to the Minnesota game, that was a slow start. Obviously, the Rutgers game was a, well, that wasn't that quick of a start, but it was really about, what, 7 minutes in when they really got flowing. But the real problem is the defense against guys that are looking for a shot, guards that can come right down and pop, guys that can put your guards on their heels. Purdue struggled. Purdue struggled again. And this isn't new, by the way, for Purdue's struggle versus Michigan State's guards. So that's not that horrible. But again, when you thought Purdue would kick it into another gear and kind of create space, they couldn't do it because they couldn't stop Michigan State again. So the problem in the beginning of the game was the same problem at the end of the game, that defense. Let's look at the stats together, why don't we? And so I'm not going to try to be a Debbie Downer all night, but I'm not sad that they won the game. Let me be very clear. I'm quite happy they beat Michigan State. And if you want to look at, like, because I've been looking for this, what are the differences between this year's and last year's team? Remember, last year's team lost 4 of its last 8. This year's team isn't losing those games, right? They're winning the games that maybe last year they would have lost, but they're surely not winning these games in convincing fashion. And that, I think, for some of us, I'm not a guy that thinks the sky's falling after a win like this, but I would hope I'm somewhat realistic and fair. So I'm stoked they won, but I don't like the defensive issue that keeps showing itself here. All right. So, like I said, Purdue wins 80-74. They get their 26th win of the season. They're 26-3. That seems good when you say those words out loud. They won their 26, at least part of their 26 Big Ten championship. If you don't understand, Purdue's up by, I think, 2.5 games right now, or 2 games. 2 games. They're up 2 games right now in Illinois. They will travel to Champaign for the next game. This is the game all along that I thought Purdue would lose. When, if you go back, I documented this. I didn't think they'd lose to Ohio State in the last 7 games. I thought they would go 6-1. I think I said that. I think it was 6-1 or 7-1 the last day. I can't remember. But I always thought this Illinois game was trouble. And if you watch the way Illinois plays on offense, again, this if you want to test Purdue's mettle going into the NCAA tournament, I don't care about the Big Ten tournament. I know a lot of people disagree with me. I don't care about the Big Ten tournament. So I really mean that. But I do care very much about the NCAA tournament, and a team like Illinois is a team you're going to play at least in the final eight. When you've got guys that can score all over the floor, and you got All-American types, multiple All-American types of guys, Illinois versus Wisconsin kind of played with them like a ball of yarn today, and they Domask and Terrence Shannon, they're just awfully good on offense in different ways. You know, one of them that old man game, like a guy that you play with the Korek that pisses you off because you're a better athlete, but he's 15 years older than you back when you were in college. Still coaches or still finds a way to beat you. So Domask has that game, and then Terrence Shannon can just rip the rim off the glass, and then on top of that, bomb threes. They've got weapons, and they aren't the only two on that team that can play. So am I worried? I don't think worry comes into my thought process when I look at a game when a team has 26 wins or 26-3. But it's the game that I thought that they had the biggest chance of losing. And good for them for holding serve at Mackey. Mackey was electric. It was loud. Fun to see that environment, but I really want to see a little bit more of a cruise, quite honestly. And when I say Purdue's main reason for not winning against bench play, here's the proof. Gillis has 7 points. Nobody else scores off the bench. That matters. And then when you look at the starters, Kaufman Wren, very, very, very quiet night. Just 3 boards. 2 points and a block. Let's see, he only shot the ball 3 times. And Lance Jones, like I said, this is it's not to me. I don't see either of these as like, oh boy, Purdue's done because these two guys aren't scoring, or these guys are done for the season because they're not scoring. I don't think it's that. In fact, I'm almost positive you're going to see a pretty amazing version of Lance Jones versus Illinois. I just kind of feel it. But tonight you didn't see that, and even towards the end of the game. I mean, not only did he went 0 for 4 from 3, but I think he airballed 2 or 3 3-pointers. So that's really unusual. If you look at what he was doing, he was fading back. He was shooting from his heels. Just not the game you want to see from Jones. But there was a big three. We've talked about this being important for this Purdue team. The big three tonight was Lawyer, Smith, and Edie. Let's talk about Lawyer first. 15 points, 4 for 6 from deep. Money. That's what I mean. And he was hitting shots when the thing that I want Lawyer to do more than anything, the contested three is one thing that's very difficult for anybody, but I want him hitting open threes because I think if you can just have him hitting open threes to start, right? Say, okay, now get into rhythm as Edie gets collapsed on, that's a big deal to teams, right? So it gives one more guy they have to guard. Obviously, if they want to lay off Lance Jones next game, have at it. Lance Jones will make you pay. And now it looks like Lawyer might make you pay again because he looked fresh. He looked like Fletch Lawyer of what, of January. I mean, it's not ancient history, but oddly enough, he didn't get out of his funk in February. February was a bad month for Lawyer, and hopefully, this is a sign of really good things to come. Then Braden Smith, when Edie in the first half went to the bench just to catch a breather, Smith kind of took the game over, and at one point it was a Smith versus Walker show. In the grand scheme of things, Smith wins because he ends up with 23 points. Walker only ends up with 14. Smith was 8 of 11 from the floor, 4 of 4 from 3-point line. Walker was 1 of 2 from deep, and he's a volume shooter, 5 of 15 from the floor. Smith played. I mean, if you've been paying attention, Smith has been he's been put on the finalist award for, was it Naismith? One of the Player of the Year awards. He's been put in the finalist list. Some of you were shocked. I wasn't shocked. I was kind of giddy with it. I thought that's amazing. But he's showing why he's on that list. And for Purdue to have two guys that are on that list shows why Purdue has 26 wins. Of course, you can't mention a Purdue game without talking about Zach Edey, 32 points, 11 boards, 4 assists, 2 blocks, and just 1 turnover. And that's the thing. Smith only had 2 turnovers. Purdue only had 9 on the game. Now, here's an interesting stat. If you want to dig into stats, Newbert talks he doesn't like reading about. I like reading stats because it helps me figure things out. I watch them with my eyes, and then I'm like, okay, I want to see what I'm missing. The game at times felt like Michigan State's effort was higher than Purdue's. And I think anybody who watched that game would say, okay, it felt like Michigan State really wanted this game. Not that Purdue didn't, but Michigan State really wanted it. And if you want to look at a stat that's interesting, but shows Purdue edging them out, rebounds, total rebounds, Purdue gets 36, Michigan State gets 33. So Purdue does what they do, which is beat teams on the glass, but they barely do it tonight, right? Purdue's three-point shooting was back, mostly because, I mean, you had both Lawyer and Smith just, I mean, 4-6 and 4-4. That's going to carry a long way. And then you have Jones goes, what did I say, 0-4, and Kaufman shot 3, 0-1. But 50%. So Purdue gets above what they're shooting on the season, and they are leading the Big Ten, of course, in three-point percentage. I don't know if they're still out in front in the nation. I didn't check on that before the game. Free throw shooting, I would say 72% is a good mark for this team. They shot below that, went 20 for 30, 66.7%. So next up, as I said, Purdue will play Illinois in Champaign before having senior night versus Wisconsin. This time, the break is a more of a normal Big Ten basketball season break. They only have a 3-day break before heading to Champaign. Illinois will be 11th, 10th in America at that point, I would think, just because of the dominant performance. Purdue will probably hold it second in the nation, I think, when the poll comes out. And then they'll finish the season out with Wisconsin on senior night, which will be a great, one way or another, it's going to be a great night. I feel like that could be another game, kind of like Rutgers, where Purdue puts it all together and you see a second half, if nothing else, that is just... maybe it's played with a ton of pace and just kind of leaves Wisconsin in the dust. I don't know. It just feels like it's a game that we'll see a lot of things. Maybe Lance Jones will play big. Who knows? But a lot of you guys are on here. Really appreciate, like I said, I really appreciate when this show is your meeting place. It's your ritual after the game. And I apologize for not getting it to you a little quicker. But like I said, I was indisposed. I was at another house, not at the Boiled Sports Studios here in Central Indiana. The Noodle starts it off, says Boiler Up, Alex Chatton, champs. And that's, it means something, right? Being Big Ten champs means something. That said, I think all of us are ready to see the next thing that this program really needs to do. And you can say, no clinking. Did Greg, man, there's clinking. There's clinking. I did the clinking. Still clinking? What? What are we saying, Greg? I'll talk to that in a second. There was clinking. Did it not pick up? Did the mic not work? Some of my ice melted because I worked on my graphic before I started on this, so that's my fault. But there's no clinking. There was clinking. I shook the glass around. Should have showed. I'm bothered by that. Okay, yeah. But anyway, Patrick Goshall says, choo-choo mothers, right on. Old school Boiled Sports tagline. Greg, please. Clue me in on why. I mean, your comments can be way at the bottom. So I clinked. I swear there was clinking. T-Rick, hammer down, Boiler Up. Austin Ray. I said hammer down to a guy today. I was ootin' a boot, as my Canadian friends would say. And he was wearing a Purdue hockey jersey, and I said hammer down. And he had no idea what I was talking about. I was like, what the hell? How do you not know that one? Boiler Up has always been derivative of Wyoming, if you don't know the history. I could tell you about it, but I would say hammer down first. I just do. So, but he looked at me like he didn't know what I was talking about. Austin Ray says, March results be damned. That stuff does not get old. What a night in Mackey. It's a fun night. I must sound like Debbie Downer here, just because the last two games, they're both wins, right? That's big. And it's obviously big compared to last year. Man, I just want to see this team get back into rhythm That's it. And it hasn't been, it's not ancient history that they were into rhythm. So I don't mean to piss on anybody's parade or whatever, but Boilermaker B2B. What's that mean? You got to help me out. Chris R says Purdue's clinking the ice in a championship trophy tonight. Yeah, that's, I like that. Sounds good. Chris, let's see. Greg Mess says, big one Tuesday. Let's make Illinois cry. So, like, I think, so this is where it could get really fun. Number one, I'm always happy when I'm wrong, when I predict a bad thing. And I have been pretty consistent about this Illinois game being one that I was bothered by, right? Like, where I was like, okay, this game looks like a tough one to me. Clinching an outright title in Champaign would be freaking amazing. Just seeing Coleman Hawkins... hopefully he would cry at some point in that game. But that would be neat. If he didn't cry, maybe he'd just be running his mouth as Purdue wins. That's also fun because it shows how dumb he is. But I don't think he's a stupid person. But I think on the court and on Twitter, mercy, the guy's got no presence. T-Rex says, if we get Jones and Lawyer to play, even at their average, they'd be unbeatable. Exactly. If you can put them both together. Now, we used to say we couldn't get Smith and Lawyer to play well together. Well, now we need to see Jones and Lawyer playing together. Smith has gotten to the point where he's dead solid, right? So, good stuff. Gerald Huff says Jones was way off. No kidding. But welcome back, Lawyer. Also, Gillis was a force tonight when it mattered. Gillis made big shots at the end, especially one big shot that was huge. Still, I'd like him to look for a shot a little bit more. I think there are times where Painter absolutely wants Purdue to work the offense through Edie at all costs. I think it's to get fouls. And let's see. I didn't look at that real quickly. Let me look at that. So Michigan State. Let's see. I didn't look at this. I apologize for the break here. But, so you had Booker, who's the guy who jilted Purdue. He finished with 12 minutes, 11 points, pretty good in 12 minutes, a couple boards and four fouls. He used them. And then Sissoko was in trouble, foul trouble right away. He had four fouls. So I think, and the other guy who came off the bench, is it Cooper? I think it was Cooper. No, there's another guy. Let's see if I can find him. Kohler. Kohler was the guy who had a tough assignment. Kohler had to try to guard Edie multiple times tonight. That's rough. That's rough. And he didn't look like he was up to the task. Sissoko, though, truth be told, I mean, he's a big, strong guy, but he struggles mightily with Edie. Every time they play, he'll be happy when Edie's gone. Paul S. of 88, Class 8, says, Heidi, 18 minutes. Painter getting ready for March. Yeah, Heidi played a lot, and I think he only shot once. So, yeah, he's getting ready. That's good. I'd like to see him looking for a shot a little more, hunting a little bit more, if you will, or at least trying to get to the basket, one or the other. But yeah, that's good to see. Gosh, I feel like I'm such a downer right now, and I don't mean to be. So I apologize to everybody if you're celebrating. You've had a couple of these already. Good on you. Andy Buck says, Gillis with all the bench points. Yeah, but that three was huge. Nathan Anderson says, unsung hero of the season, P.J. Thompson. P.J. Thompson's like a good witch. He's been incredible. If you watch, Painter's given him a lot of the reins. Painter sees how much of a rising star P.J. is, but watch the sidelines, how much of the game Thompson is out of his chair barking things out. And watch, Painter is not out of his chair as much. So that's an interesting note. I think it's a very interesting note. Let's see. T-Rex says Mason has been all year six player of the year, six man of the year. I agreed completely. Zachary Welch says great to see Purdue play a game with implications. Was against a physical, fast team, stellar guards. Also solid against the press. Back to back. But as Kobe said, job's not finished. Yeah, it's not finished. I don't think any Purdue fan believes that they arrived tonight. So, and I maybe I'm downplaying this too much. Like clinching part of the Big Ten title is a big deal, especially where you're like you said, playing a good team. And it's not a coronation. That other team wants it pretty bad. And Izzo, by the way, there was a period when Izzo got mad at the officials. Purdue was starting to roll, right? They were starting to get into that rhythm. And then Izzo throws his little hissy fit like he always does. And after that, the game got so much tighter. And all that, I know the officials are in love with the guy. I get it. I get it. But mercy, it changed the tenor of the game. He knows how to work. He knows how to do it. Kevin Albuquerque says, restrained doubt is quality doubt. Okay. I appreciate that. I am restrained right now, though. So I wish I were a little bit more wound up. So maybe in the next couple games, you'll see that. I'd like to be a little more giddy. So let's see. Andy Buck says, Gillis will bench. Okay, I'm repeating myself now. Nathan Anderson said, Unsung Hero of the Series, PG Thompson. PG Thompson. Terry Campbell says, Edie struggled. Two on defense in terms of perimeter and drop coverage. It's always his issue, right? And early on, specifically, Booker made Purdue pay, made Edie pay. But like I said, Booker's not that guy yet, right? And it was interesting to me, if you've watched Michigan State, Booker hasn't played that many minutes this season, and he started getting more the last, what, three games. But it felt like Izzo kind of wanted to make a statement with Booker. Maybe I'm reading into this too much. And he didn't get to make it. Good. Edie made his statement though. And one of the favorite moment of the game. So if you want me to see, want to see me being a little bit giddy, right before the end of the first half, when Edie was just pissed off at Booker trying to guard him. Just was it Booker or Kohler, one of the two? That's the Zach Edie that I love seeing. The dude is just like lit on fire. That's a ton of fun. One second, I'm gonna sneeze. Maybe not. Okay. Terry Campbell says, "Win with scoring and pushing the pace." Yep. Tark Shark says, "I was a Tark Shark for a year." Post game, Berman, cheers, cheers to you. Pat Gottschall says Smith was one and one away from a triple double, and this is what we've talked about this a bunch, haven't we, Pat? He's, I mean, dag nab. Let's hope he gets one. That'd be great. Wouldn't it be fun if he got out of Illinois? That'd be fun. That'd be really against the odds, but that'd be a lot of fun. Terry Campbell agrees with me about Illinois. Joe Inslee says, Courtney Green special. So this is a subplot here that I didn't really talk about. Courtney Green's working the game. When Courtney Green works the game with Purdue, Purdue is generally not able to get into rhythm. Courtney Green plus Tom Izzo equals love. Gerald Huff, plus Courtney Green taking out Lawyer, during easy fast break. He's a point shaver. I'm not a point a Courtney Greene fan, and I do not like officials the way they call the game generally. But I don't know. Purdue to me, I'd like to see Purdue just making more plays. I guess, especially when he had the blood in the water in that second half. That's probably what gets at me more than anything. I guess in hindsight. Andy Buck says, Smith and his progression is the difference this year. Sprinkling a guy like Lance and you have Smith playing an All-American level. And yeah, it's been a huge jump watching Smith grow up. It's awesome. Karen Gerlach says, Illinois is going to have their way Tuesday. Defense is the issue. We have no answer for their guard play. I fear it will be ugly. So here's the thing, Karen. This season, when Purdue has played teams that were supposed to be hitting them right in their Achilles heel, right? Specifically, if you remember the pregame at Arizona, the Arizona game, I think the Tennessee game, there was some talk. Marquette, there was some talk of it. Illinois, the first time there was talk of this, they didn't have Terrence Shannon, though. They didn't have Terrence Shannon. But you looked at those games, you're like, okay, Purdue's going to really struggle here. And I thought the Arizona game specifically, if we go into the Wayback Machine, I thought that was a game that Purdue would struggle. And Purdue's guards came alive in that one. So here's the question now. Will Purdue have the smelling salts in champagne, like be ready to will they feel pissed off and disrespected? That's my question. I don't know. It's tough to feel disrespected when you've won 26 games. You've just got a share of the conference title. You're guaranteed part of the title. This will show some mettle, this team. Let's see how they come out. See how these guards come out. Because the Purdue guards should feel a little bit disrespected. If you listen to national pundits, it's one thing for me, a guy, and you guys and girls, Purdue fans out there saying, yeah, we've watched this a lot. Purdue struggles on ball, right? The guards do. It's quite another when you hear people outside of the family saying it, you know, and really digging into them. Let's see what happens. See if it lights a fire. Gerald Cohen says, I'm with you, man. We have won the Big Ten multiple times. It's about the NCAA tournament at this point. Yeah, and now I feel a lot better about saying that, you know, because we're like, okay, we're staring the dang thing in the eye now, right? We're looking the tournament's all but here. If you're an old man like me, you're like, wait, time goes really, really fast, and we're almost there. Selection Sunday, I think this year again, I'm going to try to do something special, by the way. I don't know if I'm going to go two AJs to react to the selection, produce seeding in the bracket. I'll try to do something special, though. So, yeah, but I'm with you, Gerald. I'm with you. Karen Gerlach again says Courtney Greene is more than special. He's very, very special. Nathan Anderson, cheers. Gerald again says Illinois is not going to have their way. It'll be a close game. So I like this. There's some dialogue, some disagreement among Purdue fans, and I think that's a happy, positive thing. Let's see. Adam P says, "What's your take on bench scoring? Where's the Heidi from 2 games ago?" So here, Adam, and we talked. We were a bit tongue in cheek, right? When we the Heidi game. I think everybody would call that game the Heidi game, the Rutgers game. No question about it. That was a glimmer of what can be, not what is right now. I don't think Heidi's going to go 7 for 7 in most games, right? I think we can all agree on that. That was a special game, and I don't expect him to go 7 for 7, but I do expect him to kind of flex his muscle a little bit more, especially when he's in for 18 minutes or whatever. Yeah, I expect him to go at Michigan State a little bit more, but he didn't. And part of that's because you've got guys that were. Clearly, they were trying to take away Purdue guards at times. They're trying to take Jones away. Couldn't take Lawyer away. But Lawyer, here's the thing. Lawyer did it again tonight, by the way. There's one thing that makes me nuts about Lawyer, no matter how many times I watch him play, what the situation is. When he gets around his guy and he thinks, okay, I'm going to go finish over a power forward, you're like, hey, no, you're not. All right, Fletch, that's not your thing. It's okay. Everybody's got their thing. That's not his, right? And it's all right. It's not the end of the world. Let's see. Yeah, Tracy Fleck. I missed her comment above. Or is that his? I can't see. Sorry. Tracy's a name that could be either. We aren't losing the next 2 games, so we aren't sharing the title. I don't think Purdue's sharing the title either. I agree. But I'll feel a lot better when it's done, right? When Purdue has clinched the outright title, I'll feel a lot better. Okay, let's get down here. Preston Bannock says Smith was very good defensively on Walker. Yeah, Smith was good. And if you look, especially after that, what, first 15 minutes, 12 minutes, Smith started doing some magic stuff on Walker and really making it difficult. And Walker's got a little nagging injury, if you didn't know that. Like, supposedly it's pretty significant. Like, he hurts when he plays. His adrenaline was moving really good early in the game, and he plays pretty well. But Smith put him on, put some clamps on him. That was good to see. Andy Buck says Colvin 0 minutes. Again, I don't know the reason why it is, and I'm not gonna second guess. I really don't think it does me any good to guess and talk about that. The defense, the guard defense is a problem. Colvin doesn't help that problem. If you bring, so you say, okay, hey, we got Fletch is not playing great defense. Like he got his doors blown off by, is it Aiken? Right? Aiken blew his doors off on one drive in the second half. And Fletch got yanked right away, and they put in Heidi, right? Heidi's going to be better on defense than Lawyer. He just is. He's laterally more quick. He's a better athlete. Colvin is a great athlete who's not a very good defender. So if you take Fletch out to say, okay, defense is a problem, get in there, Colvin's not going to be your answer. I hope everybody understands that who's calling for more minutes for Colvin. And I get it. I get it. I understand. I'm with you. But at the same time, yeah. Andy Buck said Booker looked good. He looked good at times. He looked good at times. He made a bad choice. Let's see. Ed Albany says the last game is going to be quite emotional for the seniors. Wisconsin has no chance. Wisconsin looks like a completely different team than they did when Purdue played them in Madison, obviously. So, yeah, that's gonna be awesome. I can't wait for that night. I think it's gonna be a ton of fun, and hopefully Purdue. I mean, like you guys have all wished here. I mean, like hopefully Purdue clinches in Champaign. That would be just incredible. But I don't want, I mean, weird things can happen too when guys are that emotional and they've already clinched and nobody wants to see Wisconsin win a game. Let's be real honest. Nobody wants to see that. Let's see. Andy Buck commenting on my comment earlier. Jay says, definitely needs to play Colvin versus Wisconsin in Illinois. Give him some actual game time. Yeah, I'd like to see it. Man, Jimmy John says, anybody getting excited to go watch a show in Minneapolis? Is it too ambitious to buy tickets to Detroit right now? I don't think it's too ambitious to buy tickets to Detroit right now. Yeah, so if you're one of the people that goes ahead and buys tickets to, my buddy Ron Gable, who generally is here in postgame, he was at the game tonight, but I think he bought all of his tournament tickets that he could, like in Indy and Detroit, a long time ago. And I think that's great that there are people out there that have that sort of faith. I'm not that guy. Number one, I don't have that money. The other thing is I just don't do things that way. So, yeah. By the way, yeah, Terry Campbell says, got to beat Merrimack first. Yeah, no doubt. Let's see who he's talking to. Adam P says, got to do a live show in Phoenix. Yeah, so if Purdue goes to Phoenix, I'm gonna get there, and I probably won't be able to afford to get into the stadium because I don't have that type of money. And but my plan, if Purdue can get past Merrimack, is to take the big trip out west, if that were, if God bless us with that. Kevin Albuquerque says, so your point about the games against Tennessee, Marquette earlier in the year, is having a share of the title enough to get paint to call a game as if it's a non-conference game. The point about a game, sure. Well, is that paint? Is it paint who does who fueled that win versus Arizona and fueled that win versus Marquette? Paint does amazing things, no doubt, in November and December. He's an incredible preparer of teams, but in game, it feels to me like guys have to be dialed in mentally, really fired up. Remember that version of Fletch Lawyer versus Arizona? Remember that? That was a dude fired out of a cannon, right? And he felt disrespected coming into that game for some reason, right? And he was talking, he can't guard me. So the players, to me, maybe that's what they're waiting for. They're like, okay, maybe they see the end of the tunnel here too, or they see the end is near, the end is nigh. And so you see a different version of Purdue. I don't know. But part of it's Painter, no doubt. No doubt, because it's not a coincidence Purdue does what they do in November and December. But a lot of it is the players really, really being driven to do big things. And I think Purdue's been, I don't mean biding their time, like they really have, though. They're like, okay, we've got bigger things to do. And all their goals, right? Like they've said, you've heard them say that all of our goals are still in front of us after they lost to Ohio State, win the Big Ten title. And then I think the next one is, okay, win the first round in the tournament and then go to the Final Four, win a natty. Let's see. Yeah, Noodle says Smith's first three set the tone. He says tune, but he doesn't mean it. Jimmy John says, does anyone ever play 1-3-1? Yeah, the zone. Does anyone ever play? Yes, many teams play 1-3-1. But the thing with a 1-3-1, gotta have a couple things. You gotta have everybody being really good at their assignment. And I think 1-3-1 would be the zone I would use if I were coaching Purdue, but obviously I'm not. But yeah, people play 1-3-1, so a lot of matchup zones, right, in modern basketball, but not Purdue, not many. Jimmy Johns says, suppose it's plausible for more teams are four guards or similar. You're talking about the 1-3-1, sure. Zachary Young says, I have tickets for Detroit. There you go. I'm starting to talk about this. Tariq Campbell says, I bought $58 non-stop round trip flight to Phoenix from my home city of Houston. Easier flight, but hold on. Ron Gable is here now. He is checking in. Kevin Pass says, I'm celebrating on the hill above town. PJ played pro ball in. Way to go, Boilers. Champs again. That's not in America, right? Kevin, where are you? Where did PJ play pro ball? Help me. Somebody help me. Kevin Preston Bannock says TKR and First seemed to not be on the same wavelength. Yeah, First came in and yeah, that went off like a lead balloon. Need the bench to be productive. Full stop, right? Let's see. Boiler Raid, great game, great coaching. Boiler up. Da da da. Zachary Welch says, ready for Purdue Revenge Tour. 16 seed Arkansas Little Rock, 9 seed Virginia, 4 seed Duke, 2 seed Tennessee, just because it's fun to beat them. One seed Kansas, one seed UConn. I like it. I think that'd be fun. I don't think that'll happen. but I love the. I'm a big guy who loves revenge and loves justice. So yeah, that'd be a ton of fun. I'd be very, very anxious in each of those rounds. Ron Gable says tickets will have value even if Purdue is in Detroit. He's been saying that all along. So you can buy the tickets. His point is you can buy the tickets. And yeah. Let's see. Oh, in Denmark. Kevin Pass says in Denmark. PJ played in Denmark. That's awesome. Are you know, you're not usually in Denmark, are you, Kevin? That's unusual, correct? That's awesome. It's one of the places I want to visit, by the way. I want to go to Denmark, Finland, Switzerland, Amsterdam. I want to take a kind of a Northern Europe tour. Frank says, Cannon Catchings. This is a good point. 2025 Big Ten Player of the Year. Cannon Catchings, if you've been watching his highlights and watching, I made a little, I made a cameo the other night with Dylan on his podcast, and I talked about my guy for next year. Of course, you guys have heard me if you've been here. Cannon Catchings, my dude, and I have no reason to back off of that thought. He's gonna be incredible. His block the other day was wild. But he's been putting that team on his shoulders. And I gotta say, I hate the OTD model. I keep saying that because it's like all the worst of AAU and AAU, WWE, and NBA to me. It's like just put them in a blender. Let's see. I'm gonna take one more here. Take two more. Motor City Boiler says if you can swing it, do not sit in the upper deck. It's very steep and uncomfortable. Felt very far away from the action, but I know lower bowl is offensive. He's talking about. What is he talking about? I missed him here. Is that in Arizona? Or is that. I don't know. I mean, if you're J Money, you just get court-sized tickets. You know, that's no big deal. Ed Albany says next year's team versus this year's team, which is better? This year's team right now versus next year's team right away. I mean, you talk about a good coaching job for Paint. To even make that conversation even worth the conversation. I mean, that'd be better than last year's coaching job at the end of the season. But I'll tell you what, Paint, when people don't believe in him and don't believe in his team, he gets them ready. He gets them dialed in. So Detroit, is that the question? Yeah. So I've been, it's at the Little Caesars. It's not at Ford Field, I don't think. I think it's at Little Caesars, but maybe you guys know better. I'm sure Ron knows because he's got the tickets in his hand. But yeah, I've been second level there. Those are really good seats. But you get above that, probably tough. So I was there when Haas got injured. Yeah, there you go. Ron says Little Caesars. So yeah, Ford Field. Yeah, I don't like any football stadium basketball. I don't like any of it. It's always bad. Seats are always bad. So, all right, guys and girls, thank you for tuning in. Sorry for being late. Like I said, it's always great to have the time to talk to you guys. I hope I didn't rain on anybody's parade. I don't mean to do it. I don't mean to do. Oh, Nathan Dolan says, "Edie with full court press help." That was a pretty neat moment, right? I mean, it was an interesting wrinkle to bring him up and then have the ball thrown up high to him. Made complete sense, right? But I didn't like the fact that, well, number one, he wasn't in the corner. He was near the out of bounds. But I didn't like him being that close to the out of bounds. But if he holds the ball up, it's going to be pretty tough for anybody to reach it. There's no doubt about it. So, but yeah, Ron Reed says, Coach Dowd are the tallest coach at the stadium. What? I don't know what you're saying. I don't know. I apologize. I'm sure there's something good in there. I'm sorry. Thanks to everybody for being here. Like I said, thanks for tuning in. I will be back with you on the, what did I say? Is that the third, fourth, fifth? The fifth. Fifth. Until then, have a great morning. It's now March 3rd, Sunday, March 3rd. Get ready for church. Gosh darn it. Okay. Hammer down. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Thanks for tuning in. See ya.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.